Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We've talked sporadically about what a second term for President Trump might bring in so far as economic policies. We always talk about tax cuts and deregulation and tough on trade and a number of other things. But there's a few more kernels that are worth looking at. And we bring in my great friend, Russell Vogt. He's a former director of the Office of Management and Budget during the Trump administration. He is now president of the Center for Renewing America. First of all, Russ, you and Mary, Happy New Year's. Thanks for coming on.
Happy New Year, Larry. Good to be on your show and hear your voice.
Yeah, no, I've been bereft. We haven't had you on the TV or the radio, but your time is coming. You know, Russ, I wrote a piece, 2 weeks ago, talked about it on the air, and I mentioned, in addition to taxes and regulations and trade, I mentioned two things. Nobody picked up on it, made me think about you. Number one, I think there's a very good chance President Trump, if he's reelected, would go for at least what we used to call budget impoundment, executive orders for budget impoundment, which would take unused funds. You know more about this than I would. But if it's not being spent properly, take it off the books. And then I want to get to tenured civil service. But I remember the Nixon battles long, long time ago over budget impoundment. My former boss, Ronald Reagan, talked about budget impoundment, never got far with Congress. Russ, if I'm not mistaken, you've talked about budget impoundment and how it could be used as an important economic growth weapon.
No, Larry, you're right on mark. I mean, President Trump's already put out a video on this, one of his speeches, articulating what I believe wholeheartedly, and that is, as a budget expert, I believe the loss of executive impoundment by the president and his administration, that presidents for 200 years from Jefferson really began its use to Richard Nixon when it was taken away at the lowest moment of the executive branch's power, has been the original sin for our inability to control spending. And that's fundamentally because at that moment you lost the separation of powers. And so what had been a carefully balanced power of the purse, which was meant to set a ceiling, became an all-important cudgel to spend up to a floor. And as a result, we have things like use it or lose it, where you go around every agency and you wonder, why do we have this epidemic of in need of flat screen TVs and copy machines at the end of the fiscal year? It's because there's this pressure that Congress said you must spend every dollar that we have spent, and the president has lost his ability throughout the year to say, no, I don't think we need this funding. We're going to do it cheaper, and we're going to do it in a different way than you've prescribed.
One example could be just a few moments ago in the prior segment, our friend Mike Faulkner noted that the Bidens are still want to spend out COVID money, unused COVID money, Russell Vogt. Now, would that be a candidate for impoundment?
Of course. I mean, anytime you've got a place where, you know, events have transpired to take away the need for the spending and Congress just hasn't simply caught up, you are squarely in the area of impoundment. Other things like foreign aid, where you're talking about the president's constitutional role as commander-in-chief or the chief diplomat of the country, These are no-brainer areas that even we were starting to pioneer, quite frankly, in the first administration. The president had never come out and said as publicly as he has now said, I don't like the Impoundment Control Act. I think it's unconstitutional. We're going to challenge it in court. We're going to challenge it legislatively. And we're going to challenge it from the standpoint of as an independent actor constitutionally who swears an oath to the Constitution to say these are the areas where we think it doesn't apply. And we're going to use our discretion not to spend money.
What do you do with stuff? I mean, this is something that interests me a lot. I think it'd be a very useful budget tool, budget weapon. So you have this misnamed Inflation Reduction Act that piles on all these green energy subsidies, Russ. But a lot of these subsidies were so poorly defined, they basically had no ceilings. I mean, I've seen estimates by Penn Wharton and other so-called independent observers, where they wouldn't be hundreds of billions, it would come to trillions, because there's no time limits to these subsidies, and there's no actual amounts tied to these subsidies. Now, maybe that would be a candidate for budget impoundment.
Definitely. And there you have I don't even think Congress would dispute it. When they've written laws and on the we call it the direct side of the House, the mandatory side, in such a way that it gives you total ability and discretion on the executive branch side of Pennsylvania Ave, there is no debate whatsoever as to whether you can pull that money and reduce it. So even if that just means you're sitting on it for quite some time, and you saw the things that we were doing. We had many of those policy conversations about ways to lower the cost of prescription drugs or anything in that world of using the laws that Congress has passed when they basically said we're gonna have you write the laws for us. Well, that gives the executive branch more ability to not spend money as well. But this is really important, this debate, this conversation, because the president has put something out that no one has talked about since the 1970s and in that time period. And conservatives hated it at the time, and as a result, over time they've gotten their eye off the ball, and they said this no longer has merit. But it's an important tool, and I really believe it would change fundamentally the balance of power back to what the Constitution had in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm raising it, Russ. And the remaining time, there's another issue out there, and that is reforming the civil service. Tenured civil service reminds me of the tenured left-wing faculty at Harvard. you've got these people with permanent positions. They may or may not be answerable to what the president's own policy goals are, policy directives are. And from time to time, people have talked about reform. I don't have to, just give me a quick 30 seconds, Russ.
30 seconds. This is one of the main place that the administrative state wields power, and there are ways to go at it to make it more like at-will employment, which the rest of the country understands and knows, and this would be vital to getting a handle on the country and saving it from the left.
Yeah, no tenure deep state. We're going to talk some more about this on TV and radio. Russell Vogt, former OMB director under President Trump, President Center for Renewing America. Happy New Year, everybody. Stock market work on the other side of the break.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
The This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.